Good morning. Let's turn to page 116. Okay, 116. Let's read this. Less is more. This is Mark 9, 42 to 50. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone who will be salted with fire, salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Let's read this. I once knew a girl who loved pink accessories, bows, barrettes, pop beads, shrugs, tights, shoes, handbags, and feather boas. And of course, she wore them all at once. Her father's mantra was, sweetheart, sometimes less is more. Modernity encourages the more, yet Jesus reminds us that less is more. If your handed-over attitude causes you to sin, cut it off. If your football addiction causes you to sin, cut it out. If your iPod causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God without the behaviors you like than it is to spend eternity in a place you won't like. And if we're able to cut out the stuff that we enjoy but isn't life-giving to ourselves or others, then we're better prepared for the more difficult fire tests of faith that are sure to come. We'll be well outfitted, able to live at peace with others, and knowing when enough is enough. Amen. This passage here is talking about these stumbling blocks, right? And stumbling blocks were, in a way, quite important to the Lord, obviously, because in essence, his mission in Jerusalem and Judea, especially in his confrontations with the Pharisees, were basically dealing with this issue of stumbling blocks. You know, and because basically Jesus' approach was that there's a lot of people that want to come to God, but your rules and regulations, the way that you're setting up the system of religion is preventing people from coming to know God. You know, and so he sets about to eliminate as many religious stumbling blocks as possible. And so you see, that he's got a pretty clear agenda, but now he's talking about a different kind of stumbling block, and this is, in relation to sin, right? And so, he talks about here, and you have to take it in context, right? I mean, what is Jesus really trying to say? So he says here, if your hand causes you to stumble, then you cut it off, right? If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. And you look at a passage like this, and you have to start thinking, okay, what is Jesus really meaning by this? You know, because the flip side, to us is that, he says that it's not really the eye, it's the heart, right? You know, it says, when you look upon a woman, right, with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, right? So is it the looking that he's talking about, or is it the heart, right, that's instigating the looking? And so then he talks about this outward behavior and how it manifests. You know, I'm quite stuck on this these days. You guys know I'm actually going to Seattle today. I'm leaving at 4 o'clock or so, and I'm going to be ministering out there. And one of the things that I'm speaking about is this idea of gray area. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, Jesus in this passage, right, is making it pretty clear. There's some things that are quite clear to us, in the things of what we should do, right? I mean, you shouldn't sin. And in fact, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Right? And so, you know, he's talking about here behavior, you know, but the key is he's talking about the heart, right? And so when we look at a passage like this, and then we read something like Hebrews, we understand that our behavior is actually very, very important. You know, what we actually do, you know, is paramount, but more important than that is where our hearts are at. You know, and so the idea of if our hearts are at a good place, you know, then what we do will be a reflection of that. You know, sometimes that's not always the case, right? Because, you know, Paul will say in Romans 7 that there's things that he wants. In other words, his heart wants to do good things, right? But his sinful nature works in such a way that he ends up doing what he hates to do. You know, and so, you know, it's not necessarily confusion, you know, but we have to understand we're battling, you know, and we're in between two poles and we're trying to figure things out. But there's sin, right? And so if there's sin, there's things that you're doing, you know, you're stealing, just cut off your hand. You know, now, let's say we take this literally, right? So let's say, man, you know, like I have a problem with lying. I lie all the time. So if I cut my tongue off, will that stop me from lying? Right? So I have a stealing issue, right? So I cut my hand off. If I cut my hand off, am I going to stop stealing, right? Or, you know, the eye, right? You know, so your eye causes you to stumble. And so I cut my eyes out. Is that going to stop me from probably most likely the idea of something with your eyes is either like jealousy or greed, you know, or lust, right? I mean, these are things we think of. So if I pluck, does that mean I'm going to stop doing that? Right, so obviously Jesus is talking about something a little deeper, right? And he's talking about the issues of our hearts, you know. And I think the issue of our heart very easily manifests, you know, in a lot of different ways. But you know, where our hearts are, our behavior and attitudes will flow out of. You know, I mean, that's quite clear. And so that's why we need to make sure that we always have a pure and clean heart before God. And I think one of the things that maybe, all right, that maybe what Jesus is talking about, right, could be this issue of gray areas, right? Some things that may not necessarily be sin per se, but that could cause people to stumble, could cause you to stumble. You know, most of us, we live in kind of ignorance, you know, in a certain way, right? Like, Hige is here, I'll point out Hige, right? And so, you know, we were having a dinner, I don't know how long ago, or no, it was in a meeting, you know, and he said, you know, before I, you know, I went to church and everything, but I wasn't really tithing at all. I wasn't doing any of this kind of, is it okay if I share this? Okay. I wasn't doing any of this kind of stuff, right? You know, and so, but then after I spent some time teaching, I think he said the first time that he ever heard anyone teach on actually giving and money and things like that, his mind, attitude totally changed, you know, and so as a result of that, right, he started giving and God started blessing him and things started happening and he's in the right relationship. So, you know, so I wonder sometimes if a lot of these things are things that we're just kind of out of ignorance, you know, or, you know, and the passage here talks about, right, there's encumbrances and there's also sin. So it's not the same thing, right? And so, which gets into a whole other question. I know I'm kind of jumping, right? It goes into a whole other question is how far do we go, right, in terms of not causing people to stumble, right? I'm just trying to take it to another level here, right? I mean, how far do we go, you know, funny enough, people don't like the way I dress, you know? Thanks, David. I know you're not one of those people, right? Some people, I mean, at church, some people don't like the fact, some people think I dress too fancy, right? Some people think I dress too irreverent, you know? And so you know, you got one church and, you know, some people think, oh, why are you dressing so fancy, you know, with a nice shirt and jacket? You know, and then other people, you know, it's like, why are you dressing so irreverent? You should be wearing a tie or, you know, you should not wear jeans. You know, and so, I mean, I'm here I am, right? But I'm causing one side to stumble, you know? And this is where we have to wrestle, you know, with the scriptures and things that are obviously, you know, I mean, it comes from, it's not really me, it's them. You know, that's what you'd like to think a lot of times, right? You know, because, I mean, what does it really matter? But there needs to be a sensitivity to that, you know, in our lives, right? This passage here, especially this Hebrews passage, you know, just basically reminds us, you know, very simply, that there may be some things, you know, that will weigh us down in a certain way. You know, that's what these encumbrances are. You know, and the law, because, not the law, but the rule, because it's about our hearts, right, that we try not to make people stumble. You know, this whole idea of a stumbling block, that's our heart. We try not to do that. Sometimes as we do that, it's going to happen, you know. You know, sometimes as you try to live a godly life, you might make people stumble, you know. But that's not really your issue. That's usually their issue, right? Because basically Jesus made a lot of people stumble, you know. I mean, a lot of religious people stumble, you know. And so I think it all goes down to making sure our hearts are in the right place. And then out of where our hearts are, that our behavior kind of follows, you know. I've been really... in some ways, I've been very inspired these days, you know, to kind of go back and, you know, look through the scriptures and kind of see the things that we're doing as a church, see the way I'm living as an individual, you know, but let it be informed, you know, through the scriptures, right? The, you know, having a vision that comes out of the Bible instead of just picking something up, but there's no root or grounding there, you know. Pastor Carol, last week in our staff meeting, she went through this thing that she learned when she was at YWAM last summer, you know, and it's called a belief tree. I think some of you guys that are in the Noah's Ark, you went through this. But it made such good sense, you know, in that, you know, and she should probably just do something for the whole church, but especially our leaders at some point. But it's the root, right? This is your belief, biblical, right? And then everything flows out of that, right? The trunk is the values, and then there's the fruit, you know. But everything is kind of aligned itself, you know. It's kind of really spoke to me, as well as many other things that are happening, to realize, man, I need to make sure that I'm in alignment with God, you know. And not just in terms of, like, here's the Bible. Because even in that alignment, there's many manifestations of how that could be lived out. But what is God speaking to me, and what is my DNA, or what is our DNA as a church, and make sure those values come together, you know. And so in this idea of, you know, we're not trying to not cause people to stumble, you know, the issue of our hearts in the right place, but the manifestation of how that works, even though it's biblical, may look very different. And so it's coming back to this idea of, well, I got to make sure that it's aligned to the values that God has given to me, and also the grounding is in Scripture, you know, and so that we don't totally get off in doing something. You know, the illustration that I gave in our leaders meeting last Saturday, you know, in talking about this was, you know, it's like God as a church, we have certain values as a church. You know, we have certain things that we need to do, and what God's called us to. And let's say some guy all of a sudden out of the blue, you know, gives us like four horses. You know, I know this is crazy, right? But just follow along with me for a second here, right? You know, and gives us four horses. And all of a sudden these horses, you know, and so we're going to start a horseback riding ministry at church, right? And so, you know, and then we start investing money and whatnot. But then is that really in line with what God's called us to be as a church? You know, is a horseback riding ministry really going to make disciples and, you know, create an atmosphere where people can experience God or something like that? And we can come, like, it's a good idea, but probably not. I know it's a ridiculous example, right? But it's simple things like that, you know, that come down to what God has called us to do in a kind of a biblical vision of what God wants for us. And so this morning, let's close our eyes. When we think about these stumbling blocks, because you can't please everybody. You only want to please God. And in the way that we're living our life, in the choices that we're making, are they informed through the scriptures? And then they're informed, and then you have a good heart. But now are our actions lining up with that as well? Could there be any areas of your life that God may be challenging you? That these may be sin, we're pretty aware of, but how about encumbrances? How about those things that so easily entangle us, that maybe need to be adjusted, that go in line with what God has revealed to us in the scriptures? It's many different manifestations, but there should be an integrity of thought that goes all the way down from the root. And so as Jisun just leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to just go before the Lord and ask Him to just probe your heart.
My heart's one desire.
Let's start this morning, and let's pray for Methodist International Church. You know, they're right here on Kennedy Road. The person that wrote the devotional this morning is Mary Beth Asher Lawson. And let's ask God's hand to continue to be with her. She's an associate minister there. I know that they had a new senior pastor come in last year. And let's just pray for the church and ask God's hand to be with them. That they have multiple services on Sunday, a lot of different things going on. And just pray for just the Spirit of God to continually use this church and this movement. Let's just lift up. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's just continue to lift up all of our members that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing touch. You know, I know that sometimes it can get very rote, you know, every morning praying for these individuals, many people that we don't know, and you know, but man, there's something about faithfulness. There's something about continuing to press in. And so let's just keep praying for these members, a lot of family members. Pray for the ones that are in chemotherapy and different things. There's some newer ones that are on there. You could read, you know, Ashley's friend who needs a transplant, Harmony's father, her neck surgery, and the Chung's cousin who needs a bone marrow match. And so let's just really pray and that God would just really intervene on our extended body. Let's pray especially for the ones that are sick, but more importantly, that need to meet with Jesus. You know, even if their disease or whatnot gets cured, but, you know, they don't come to meet the Lord, then it's almost for nothing. And so let's pray for that word of salvation to go forth to these people, that they would find strength in them. And let's pray for God's hand to be with them, and that God would send people, you know, all over, right, that would go and minister to them and share the love of Jesus, and there be an openness. Let's pray against any spiritual warfare that wants to block, you know, what God wants to do. You know, Jesus wrote about, you know, they're blinding the minds of the unbelievers, right, so they cannot see God. And so let's just really pray against those things. And let's also pray for others that are sick, right? Strokes and enzyme deficiencies, heart conditions, you know, convulsions. Let's pray for God's hand to be there. And let's also pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's pray that God will open up doors supernaturally. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's lift up China. Let's ask God to... Okay, the first slide is already done, right? The one guy won. So let's pray for China, right? Let's pray for... nice. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's lift up P. Sam Kim and... the rest of the team there. Let's also pray there's a team that's going to go out in a few weeks, and let's just really lift up the team members, and especially if we could ask a prayer request, let's pray for a few Cascade members, which is really the bulk of the team, to have time to go. You know, right now we have two, but just part-time, and so we definitely need more Cascade people, because they're going to be doing a lot of inner healing counseling with people there. And so let's pray that God would just open the doors for them in their work. Let's pray for the plant. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, Leanne, the kids in Chichihar, the government. Let's pray for the churches in China, that God would just continue to use them powerfully. You know, I mean, that's an incredible success story, right? Let's pray that they would just take it to another level. And so just lift up China and ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for our church staff and our board and our missions committee. And let's ask God's hand to be with each of these leaders, and that Holy Spirit would just breathe life, and that we would all serve with joy and serve with wisdom. If we can pray in particular, I know Monica is sick today. Let's ask God to heal her. And let's just pray that in some levels as well, the church would have confidence in the staff and board and missions committee, and be praying for these people as well to do their jobs well. Let's pray. Let's pray for the Indonesian ministry. Pray for Pastor Selamat and ask God's hand to be with him and his family and the women there. He's actually going on the radio today to give a short message to the Indonesian community. Let's pray for just favor. Everything that he does is as God just continues to give him more opportunities to do different things that will impact the community here. Let's pray for just anointing and for either each of the leaders and all the programs that they're running right now. Let's pray for the Korean church, and let's ask God to continue to meet with them. You know, they've been trying to get a loan for a while, and let's just pray that the loan would go through, that all the logistics with the bank and everything would just happen, and that they would get some breathing room financially. So let's just lift up. Let's pray for the house church meeting tonight. Tonight, or this week, is the last week of house church until we go on a break, you know, a few week break. And so let's pray for a real fruitful time for Lam Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just really breathe upon the leaders and upon the discussions. And, you know, regardless of they're doing the sermon or a Bible study or going through a book or whatever it may be, that the word would be proclaimed powerfully and that people would connect with each other. And so let's just pray for the house churches tonight. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you. We ask, God, that you would watch over our hearts, God. Watch over our actions, Lord. And God, help us to, in the best of our abilities, God, to live out this faith, Lord, that you've entrusted to us, God. We have this treasure, God, in earthen vessels, Lord. And I pray, God, for wisdom, Lord, and integrity, God, and in everything we do, Father, that it flows out of the right heart, God, and so it produces the right fruit. And so we ask you to watch over us, God. We ask for a blessing, God, anointing this week to do all that you call us to do, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.